Bless the Lord, O my self, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Now, since I don't have a board, I'm going to use my body. Okay? Bless the Lord. Here's my what hand? Left hand. So this is God as creator. This is my right hand. So this is God as redeemer. Okay? Left and right. Okay? So I got my left hand and I got my right hand. Do you think God's hands are going to oppose each other? No. So if God's got a left hand and that's related to his creation, then he's got a right hand and that's related to his redemption. Okay? So just remember that throughout Bible, whenever you're reading about the right hand of God, doeth valiantly. It's his right hand where all the spiritual power is. The left hand can never be opposed to the right hand, nor the right opposed to the left hand. So this hand is for all men. This hand is not. This hand is for all men. His left hand is for all men. So he's going to bless all men over here. But here, he only blesses his own. This is everybody he made. This is everybody he remade. And so, two different hands. Now, keep it simple. So, his right hand is always his saving hand. So, with Israel, right-handed, not like all men. He reigns on the just and the unjust, so that's true of all men. And his justice, his morals. All men have morals. All have men, some kind of religion and so on. So that's true of all men. But they're all going to perish. Only this group won't over here. So you want to be a recipient not of these benefits, but of these benefits. Because these benefits finish these benefits. These benefits can never keep you alive. They can only preserve you. They can preserve you until death. But they can't keep you from dying. These benefits not only preserve you from death, but they make you alive while you're alive. So that'd be better. That would be better. So this is not a wrong hand. This is just not complete. It's not finished. Not complete and finished. This is the finish for this. So what his left hand began, his right hand continues and finishes. That's the work of the Lord Jesus, the Savior, and the Holy Spirit as the executor or the finisher. He's the finisher of all the works of God. So what God did here in creation, he finished. What Jesus did on the cross, he finished. What the Holy Spirit is doing is not yet finished. He's unfinished. He's still working on it. Can you feel you're under construction? You're not yet perfected. So creation's done. Evolution is a lie. Creation's finished. When God rested on the seventh day, it was done. It was over with. So evolution's a lie. That's the end of evolution. Now, redemption, also finished. Even though everyone may not have come into it, it's finished. What he did on the cross, he said it's finished. God ended 6 days, he said it's finished. So it's finished, finished. So two things are finished. One thing is unfinished. Otherwise, we'd all be finished. So it's not finished. It's not finished till it's finished. Right? So now his right hand has two finishers. One, Savior, the other, Lord. Jesus says Savior. That was not while he was on the earth. While he was on the earth, he kept the law. While he was on the earth, he was born under the law. Okay? But when he died, he was Savior. He wasn't Savior while he was on the earth. He was Savior when he died. And then, through the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, he's now the sustainer, the one that's finishing what he saved. Everything he saved, he's going to finish. He only perfects that which concerns him. This doesn't concern him. Why? Though he made it, he cares about it, he loves it. But he doesn't force anybody over here, because this is force over here. So here it's necessity. When he gives you a benefit over here, of necessity he has to give you certain other things, because he's providential. So his providential history is over here. So he's providential. So even the natural man finds God still working in history, providentially. But over here, we're not providential. Over here, God continues to intervene in history, not providentially, as a necessity, as a necessary concomitant of what he started. So the benefit he gave you by keeping you alive and then feeding you, and then sometimes he intervenes in history and stops the Tower of Babel and all that kind of stuff, those are all necessary concomitants. But they're not benefits. these are the benefits. These are benefits too, but they're done by necessity. These are never necessitated. They're done by mercy and by power, having no necessity behind them. God didn't have to do these. He didn't have to show you his right arm. He has no necessity. He chooses to do it because he sees people over here in trouble. So because God so loved the world, his right hand quickened with mercy and power. You see that? But also with holiness. There's holiness over here too. The Ten Commandments are over here. Natural law is over here. Ten Commandments are over here. But the Ten Commandments are nothing more than the natural law, but it never finished. So the Ten Commandments is finished as what the natural law began. Did you follow that? I know I go too fast, but sorry. Now, I mean, I'll repeat it a million times. So if you don't get it the first time, it's like, you know, children just keep repeating it like a good teacher. You just say it over and over again until you get it. But it's very simple, super simple, incredibly simple. But it isn't that's the first time you hear it or the second time or the 50th time. It's still not simple. But after a while, it begins to make sense and all that up. So this is his left hand. This is his right hand. That's simple. This is creation. This is redemption. That's simple. This is God the Creator. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and saved us and now who lives in us through the Holy Spirit. So this is all connected over here for your salvation and your sanctification and your glorification. Now, I got this one really complex, but it's not really. It's just everything over here is a benefit, right? All right, so now we're going to read this psalm, which is Old Testament, so you'd think it was over here, but actually it's over here. It's just the first part over here because the holiness leads to the mercy, leads to the power. And the power leads to the power in your soul and then leads to the power in your life. Spirit, soul, body. Okay, so he saved you, spirit. Then he's in you to will, that's soul. Then he's in you to do, then the outward works. So you can see now you get Father, Son, and Holy Spirit over here, right hand. But you also have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit over here, creating the world, sustaining the world. But it's only a natural world, and it'll perish. It'll all burn. It's all going to burn up. So all of this has no future. So he redeems whatever part wants to. Whosoever will may come. It's not predestined. It's not predetermined. It's not predestined or predetermined. That is, it is predestined, but it's not predestined like predetermined. It's by his foreknowledge, he knows there's some out there yet to be saved, and so he's going to save them. And there will be many who are saved. So he already told us that ahead of time. You don't have to worry, well, what if I pray for a Samoan? Will he get saved? Well, maybe not a particular one, but in general, yes. There will be always be a remnant of Samoans that come to Jesus. What about Muslims? Yep, a remnant. What about, you know, Hindus? Yep, a remnant. So he guaranteed that. So I don't know about a particular Muslim. I don't know about that. Only God knows that. He didn't reveal that. He just simply told me whatever I needed to know. What I needed to know, he revealed. So he hasn't revealed all the particulars. Why? Because you don't need to know it. All you need to know is do what I told you to do. That's so simple. Why do I have to know everything? It'd just bother my head. I don't have to know everything, so I'm not going to know everything. I'm just going to know what age I am. I just need to know what 2-year-olds know, or 6-year-olds, or 18-year-olds, or whatever old I am. So what do you need to know? Well, you only need to know what you need to know. All the rest would be bothersome to you. Your head would just go spinning. So, if you don't know everything, you don't need to. Don't want to. Don't try to. Just know what you have to know. Just know what you're supposed to know. Just know what he reveals to you. So I read the Bible because the Bible has everything in it. And I don't know everything in the Bible, but I know some things. And every day I try to learn some more things. So I'm not in any hurry. He's not in any hurry. I got all the time in the world. Then I got all eternity. Whatever I missed, it's all right, it's in Jesus. At least I found out where to get it. So right hand of God is his benefits, okay? Now, if there's a benefit, who is the beneficiary? Here's the natural benefits, and it's what I call necessary concomitants, those things that accompany being born up by God. But here, over here, there are things that accompany salvation, okay? Not only salvation through mercy, through the blood of Jesus, through believing in him, but also things that accompany salvation. going on to perfection, Holy Spirit dwelling in you, being filled with the Holy Spirit, all of those accompany salvation, right? So some of you have become Christians, but it's just through repentance, or it's just through believing, or it's just through willing, but it's not yet through doing. So you got to keep going, because all those things are, I'll say, necessary concomitants of salvation, things that accompany, but they're not by necessity. Over here, they're by necessity. So over here, necessity means something different. It means the Holy Spirit's in you to constrain you. In other words, if you're born again, you're going to want to be not just made by him, but made of him. So you want to be like him. That's the goal over here, is to be made like Jesus, not to get saved. Getting saved is not the goal. That's the beginning. You're getting saved is how you begin. So you repent, then you believe, and then you start obeying through the Holy Spirit, who works in you, and then he works through you, and so on and so forth and so on. So did you see all that? Is that crystal clear? Because you have to explain this to your children, to your grandchildren, to your neighbors, to your loved ones. You need to explain it, because they get all mixed up. So I've given you a grammar for faith, you know, simple grammar. And I grammarize everything. I give you the grammatical tools not to believe. This is just a scaffolding. It's not necessary. It's just helpful. It's just helpful, or it could be helpful. And because I believe I'm led by the Spirit, I believe it is helpful to lay things out clearly so that, you know, if I died, you could be so easily deceived by the next teacher. I'm just telling you, it's so easy to be deceived. And there's no way I can give you all the teachings that I have. It's impossible. So that the next person wouldn't deceive you. You can be deceived just like that. I tell you, it is so, the devil has so many advantages. So unless you learn on your own, not from me, but just learn on your own, you will be deceived. Now you have to learn on your own. So I want to help you to learn. I mean, in other words, it'll be your fault if you don't learn. I'm going to teach you what God says and does and so on and so forth. But you may be offended in me. Blessed are you if you're not. But I don't blame anybody for being offended in me. I have lots of things to be offended by. Nevertheless, God uses me to benefit you. And actually, all those offensive things are actually your advantage. The things that are not offensive would only deceive you. If you think there's another teacher who's really clear, I wouldn't trust that person. Why? Because you have to be very careful of things that look good. I deliberately don't look like Jesus. Well, he's not Jesus. That's true. I admit that. That's one of the reasons why what I'm sharing is of Jesus, because it gives Jesus all the glory. I don't want people to admire me. I don't want them to worship me. I don't want, you know, I know how to fake people out. You may not know that, but I'm very clever. But I could present myself in such a way that flesh loves it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know how to present myself in such a way to deceive people, because I was a deceiver in my past life, and I haven't forgotten how. In fact, you are too. You just may not know it, but I calculated it. I knew it. I deliberately did it. But now that I've become a Christian, I don't want to do that anymore. So I don't do it. Why? Because I'm dead to that. I don't want that. I don't believe in that anymore. I don't believe in deception anymore. But one time I did. And I did practice it, and I was deliberate, without a conscience, I didn't have a second thought about it. Just did everything to my own advantage. I don't want to live that way any longer. Why? Because I don't believe in it. I don't believe that any longer is true. See, I'm not going to forget all his benefits. I'm not going to forget all his benefits. Every minute of every second of every day, I'm aware of Jesus. And I talk to him a lot. I talk to him while I'm in the car. I talk to him. I listen to him. I read his word. I worship him. I'm happy. And I don't allow myself to get unhappy. I don't allow myself any of that other stuff, because once you have a God, you're not allowed to do all that. So I'm not unforgiving to people and bitter. I mean, I might get bitter, but I'll quickly get over it. It'll just be a few minutes, and I'll get back to my right mind. I mean, I can get as bitter as you about anything, and probably more so, because I don't protect myself from it. But I'm not going to stay there. So it isn't whether you sin or not, it's whether you stay in the sin. It's not whether you sin or not, you all sin. Everybody every day is afraid, you're angry, you're bitter, you're jealous, envious, and so on. That's just normal. So somebody says, I have no sin, you're a liar. And you make God a liar. So I don't deny that I sin every day. I just deny that I continue in it. I just deny that I don't stay in it. I don't want to stay in it because it doesn't pay. It used to pay, see, as a natural person, it paid me to figure out, you know, everybody's weaknesses and so on and so forth and try to protect mine and cover them up and whatnot. But I don't want to do that anymore because I don't believe in that. I believe that's a dead way. I believe that way doesn't work. I could still do that. I could go back, and it's pretty late now, but I could still do it. I could go back if all I wanted was to be rich, famous, smart, great, worshipped, loved. I could deceive people and do that. I don't want to do it. It's not. It is, has no interest any longer. I delight now in pleasing the Lord. I don't delight any longer in doing the other. In fact, I'll throw it all away. If you give it to me, I'll just toss it away because I don't want it. What I want is to do what Jesus wants. And without, I don't even have time to explain to people why I do what I do or don't do what I don't do. And neither do you. It's a waste of time to explain everything. Once you fall in love with Jesus, you don't have time for anybody else. You don't have time for other girlfriends, other boyfriends. No, you only have one. So we just do what he says until he doesn't say it. If I drop dead right now, I'm happy because I've lived a full life and so on. Was it perfect? No, absolutely not. But nevertheless, every day I said I was sorry. Every day I was sorry. I was a sorry person. But every day I got forgiven, and every day I got, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit and fell in love with Jesus again. And you say, well, do you have any inconsistencies? Of course. Of course. But they're just not permanent. They're inconsistencies, but they're just not permanent. Somebody said, well, have you gotten rid of all your... No, I haven't gotten rid of all my inconsistencies, but they're not permanent. That's all I'm saying. They don't last. But I would not say I'm finished with, you know, all those bad things. I wouldn't say that. You won't either. You don't say it. You won't say it. You shouldn't say it. You do get afraid. You do get angry. You do get jealous, and so on and so forth. It's okay. Just don't stay in it. Just take it to Jesus, right hand. And there's mercy over here. There's no mercy over here. There's no mercy in his left hand. God's left hand has no mercy at all. It's nothing but harsh law. Nothing. Now, it doesn't mean there's not a little bit of love and kindness, but it comes from the right hand, whether they know it or not. But there's no mercy over here. It's just law, rigid. You know, eat of the tree and die. That's it. You did, you're dead. You know, there's no mercy. So unless God says another word, remember, and God said, 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 and the serpent said, you know. So unless God says another word, I'm finished. But he does. He immediately spoke to him in the garden. Remember what he said to him in the garden? Okay, I hate you people. Is that what he said? No. All right, I told you not to eat that. Now you're dead. No, it's not what he said. What did he say? Gave him the gospel. First thing he did after they goofed up was give him the gospel. Spoke another word. And God said, 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 and then the serpent said, and then God said a second thing that he hadn't said the first time. Sometimes you only learn things after you've messed up. Just things about your parent you don't know until you mess up. See, for the first few years of my life, I'm obeying them, so I'm staying alive and not being spanked. But after a while, I learned that even if I do wrong, my parent loves me so much that even though they don't like what I did, they still like me. And they're going to forgive me. And that I don't know that. That doesn't even have any meaning as a concept until I need it. I mean, if somebody taught me the concept of mercy, it would be meaningless until I've done wrong. That's the first time I understand what love is. To be loved because I'm good, that's just, yeah, of course, I was loved because I was good. So all little kids know, mama likes me. But that's because they were good in their eyes. But the one that's then Kara's second oldest daughter, she's not a good one. But the first oldest one, Christina, she's nicer. I mean, she reads everything and does everything and obeys everything. And she flaunts it to the second one, who's younger, and she just goes, I just can't be nice like you. You know, that kind of thing. You ever see that with little kids? They'll do that. Well, I'm just not like that. But the second one is more loving and so on and so forth. The first one is cold and calculating and devious, and so I'm very much like me. And so that second one is always trying so hard to please everybody and so on and so forth because she knows she's no good. Whereas the first one knows she's good. That's just normal kid stuff, right? You all understand that? So you work that out as you grow up, but you learn after a while that everybody's the same. Everybody's the same. But a lot of people never grow up. They stay emotionally in the same boat that they started in, you know. And that can happen. Your sister is always going to be the better one, and you're always going to be the naughty one, the black sheep of the family, whatever they call it. Now that's silly stuff. That has nothing to do with the Bible. You have nothing to do with the Bible. Once he comes into your life, he forgives you of all those things and changes all those things, makes you like Christ. So you don't want your personality that you developed over here. You want another kind of personality, right? So, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That kind of ends everybody's pride thing, you know. Because over here, it's harsh. You have to be perfect. It isn't do the best you can, which everyone thinks that's what it says. I mean, it could say be perfect, but they translate that. Well, that means do the best you can. That means better than I was last week. That means better than you. You know, that's all. That doesn't really mean what it says. Be perfect. As God is holy, so you must be holy. So that had to be revealed over here. No, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean do the best you can. So that's why Moses indicts all the pagans, because they translated it to a human level. Well, he couldn't mean, I thought he was loving. Well, then it must mean, you know, and so they're just making stuff up. So nobody can settle it until Moses comes along. I'll settle it. You got to be perfect. Well, that ruined everybody's fun. You know, up until then, it was okay to be a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Greek or a Roman or a Babylonian or whatever you were. Now, all of a sudden, it's no more fun because he made it really clear. You got to be Jewish and you got to be circumcised and you got to, you know, come to the temple and all that stuff. And that ruined it for everybody because the Jews were not claiming just to be another religion. They were claiming to be the only religion, the only true religion. All others were just pagans and Satanists. That made people mad. And nobody liked the Jewish people after that. You guys used to be okay, you know, but now we don't like it anymore. We don't want you in our neighborhood either. Get out. And so a lot of people tried to hate the Jewish people because they said they knew what God wanted and he wanted perfection. And then people pointed out, you hypocrites, you're not even doing it, which was true. It's totally true. Just because you know what is right doesn't mean you'll do what's right. Just because you know what's right doesn't mean you'll do what's right. Just because you know what's right doesn't mean you even want to do what's right. So I may know, or think I know. I may think I know what's right, but then not want to do it. Or in fact, the more you know, the more you won't want to do it. And so it wasn't even the pagans that weren't doing right. It was the Jewish people that God was after all the time. Yeah, I told you what I wanted. Perfection. We got that down. We don't even say your name. That's how holy you are. And that's not what I had in mind at all. Well, you know, and so they get mad at him, so then he has to punish them. And they hate that. So six times they've been in the furnace so far. Six times they've been in the furnace, and they don't like the idea that there's another one coming. But too bad. You know, that's the way it is when God loves you. He stays right on your case. If you had a bastard, bastards, if you had a bastard, then you let them do as they wish. You give them the law, and then they're not yours. Don't belong to you. You're raising them, but they're not behaving. But they're bastards. But if it's your own child, you're going to chasten them. But a bastard, you might, you know, you adopted them, they're from the outside, you know, and a lot of times, you know, you kind of spoil them or whatever, or neglect them or whatever. That's a bastard. It's not your own. You know, I was a bastard. I am a bastard. And because of that, you know, I could easily have been neglected. I was neglected, you know, but so what? I mean, I never knew I was neglected particularly. I never was really so much aware of it, just because of the way we grew up. So bastards don't have legal rights. So I didn't even have a birth certificate until I was 4 years old. So I have no legal rights. So they tried to legalize me later after they could see they couldn't abort me and get rid of me and, you know, I wouldn't die off or whatever. I was always, you know, kind of frail. You know, I was never a football type player or anything. I'm still not. John, how come I'm not like you? You see, I was born punyish. And, you know, but that's okay because God liked me. But I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that till I was already a grown man. I was, you know, way late in my life, already married, already everything. And then that was the first time I found out I wasn't a Christian and I wasn't anything. And Then I got in on it, but it was late. I was real late in the deal, because I just lived a pagan type life, and I was happy with my pagan type life, because I was just trying to survive. And I did survive, but I didn't know any truth. There was no truth in my life at all. And when I heard about it, I didn't like it at all. No. And then I heard about Jesus forgiving me. What for? And then I heard about the Holy Spirit filling me. No, I don't want your help. I didn't want to be loved. I don't want anyone to love me. I'm over here toughing it out, just barely making it. I don't want anyone to love me and glom onto me and try to control me and manipulate me with their love. See, to me, love didn't mean love at all. It meant someone getting close to you so they could control you and dominate you. Do you understand? Like Peggy, she was always, well, let's just love. No, no way. I'm not buying that. You mean control. Just say it. I know what you mean. You mean control, dominate. You want me to love back. You're not just wanting to love me. You don't mean that at all. You're thinking only of you. Ain't doing it. No way. You're not going to trick me into that. I'm doing fine just this way right here. So this Jesus thing scared me, because what if I became a Christian? I might have to do some of the stuff she was talking about. No way. I don't want to be better. Wouldn't you like to be better? No. You're going to hell. Fine. I do not want to be controlled by somebody else. So God's offer of controlling me was not, that wasn't good news to me. Why would I want control? Oh, because you're out of control. Good. I'm staying this way. I don't care that I'm out of control. Did you know that there's rebellion in everybody? Did you know that everybody's a natural rebel? They don't want to be controlled by anybody, not even God, especially not God, because he's invisible for one thing. You can't even see the guy. You don't know where he is, and he's real powerful, and he's smart. So how, at least a human you can sneak away in the dark when they're not looking or something, but God can't even he can see in the dark. Did you know that God can see in the dark? He got those goggle things, I guess. He can see right through. I see you. And that's awful, because I can't ever get away from him. So that's why I didn't want to be a Christian, because then how can I hide my sin? How can I keep sinning and having any fun, and not only sinning but enjoying it? I didn't just sin. I enjoyed my sin. I loved my sin. You see, most people, when they sin, they feel guilty. I didn't feel guilty. I just didn't want to get caught, and I didn't want to stop doing it. See? But society puts pressure on you to conform, and I didn't want to be a conformer. I wanted to be a non-conformer, because you can't do all those things, or if you do, you have to sneak them. So I had to do some sneaking. That develops your mind to be a sneaky mind. I have a very sneaky mind. It's called snaky mind. But I thank God for this church, because I sense a lot of fellow travelers with me that are just as evil and bitter and snaky and sneaky. But here's the psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. So my soul, myself, my person should bless God. Again, that's a not a left-handed benefit. Left-handed benefit, I told you, are just all the things he gave you before in creation, and then all the things that he's doing since then to keep you alive and so on. God's for that. So that's a benefit. That's a benefit to all men. But it's only temporal. It's a temporal benefit. Which benefit is God talking about here? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Which benefits is he talking about? Listen to this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all his benefits. Which benefits is he talking about? The natural benefits, the temporal benefits, the common benefits, the universal benefits, the ones that are related just to me as part of all humanity? Or is he talking about these benefits over here? You see, these are benefits, yes, but they're given to all men universally. So even if he were to bless an individual, it'd only be because of universal reasons. Over here, I don't have any real individuality, just an individual within the group kind of thing. But over here, I'm actually an individual that's been selected out, called out of the world, and now I'm the apple of his eye. Over here, I'm not the apple of his eye. Everybody is. Everybody is, nobody is. But over here, I'm not like all other men, and I'm not born by God, I'm born of God. Now I'm his property. Now he protects me and benefits me because I'm his property. In other words, this is how he treats those that are his. This is how he treats those that are not his people. Right? He says, I call you not my people. And he told Israel, you used to be my people, but now you're not following me, so you're now I put you in the category of not my people. And he kicked them out of their land. So now they're over here. Jewish people today are over here. Why? Well, because they rejected Yeshua. Because they only went the first way, the law, but they never even did it. And so, of course, they didn't need the second law, which was mercy. And, of course, they didn't need the third law, which was power. If you can't do it, you need to be forgiven, and then you need help. So that's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God tired of his Jewish people. And said, I don't want you as people anymore. What? You remember Jesus cursed the fig tree? Your house is desolate, he said. No, it isn't. We're fruitful. We're Abraham. We're God's people. Yeah, well, you used to be. You used to be called my people. Now you're not called my people. I'm going to take Gentiles now. Gentiles? They're wicked. Well, what are you? No, not as bad as they are. I mean, they're born in sin. Well, what about you? You know, and so the Jewish people are blinded today. They really can't see what's going on. So they're still insisting that they're over here when they're over here. No, we're on the right hand. You are in the future, but in present you're not, unless individually you came out. So as a people, as a nation, that's why they don't have a nation. It's kind of like a clue. Where's your nation? We lost it because of the bad people. No. You lost it because of your own sin. No, it wasn't because of our sin. It was because the Gentiles are anti-Semitic. I don't think so. I think it's because God said you're not my people. It's not Semitic at all. It has nothing to do with Semitic. It has to do with, you know, a promise he made to Abraham that he wants to have a holy people. But thank God, he made a promise, right, over here. Here's the promises, here's the commands, here's the promises, here's the commands. But here also are commands that he gave to Israel. And that's why people feel that the law over here is not related to the law over here, but it is. It's related. But this law is specially given to his own people to convict them so he can show them mercy, so he can give them power. In other words, the one is for the other is for the other. If you don't get the first, what good is the second? If you don't get the second, you can't have the third. You can't have the Holy Spirit if you're not born again. You can't be born again unless you're convicted of sin. So that's why he said, I came not for the righteous, I came for sinners. Did I go too fast on that? Okay. So, right hand, this is God's mercies, his benefits, his power, his glory over here. Left hand, this is nature. This is everybody. This is all men. This is just a few. So here are the called out ones, and they're to be a light to the rest of the world. They're to be salt to the rest of the world. Indirect, never direct. They can't go over and force directly. That's why Christians can't be involved in politics directly. You have to go in through your morals, through nature, indirectly. In other words, there's no such thing as Christian morals. There's only Christians, and they're moral, but morals are universal. To be nice is nice for everybody. I mean, nice is not just Christian nice. There is no such thing as Christian nice. So there's nothing uniquely Christian about morals. If you're moral, you're moral. And the whole world knows it because they recognize it. Gee, you were nice to your mother. We weren't. It's common. And so they you can't say, well, that was a Christian morality. There is no such thing as Christian morality. Morality is morality. It's just universal. And everybody can see it. And they can understand it with their reason, their mind. So we enter politics through the morals. So we don't go directly into politics, we go indirectly through morals, which are common with all men. That's why we can get along with a Hindu or Buddhist or anyone else, because they also have morals. Now, they may not do them. We may be able to do our morals better, and that, in fact, is true. We may do our morals better, but it isn't like it's different. But we have different morals. No, we don't. We have the same morals. Morals is love God and love the neighbor as thyself. That's all. That's all morals is. Same thing in the Ten Commandments. Love God and love the neighbor. It's just that we're more clear and we may be more strongly committed than they are. But they can participate in government too. A Hindu can be a good neighbor. Just because they're not a Christian doesn't mean they're a bad neighbor. Romney's going to have to run as a Mormon. So just because he's a Mormon, does that mean he can't be a president? You know, well, I'd rather have a Christian, but we don't have any. We've got Giuliani and McCain and so on and so forth, and they're just out for their own thing. And I know they're all going to become good Christians all of a sudden until they get your vote. But the truth is, we don't have any real candidates. But it isn't because candidates have to be Christian. I'd rather have a Christian only because I think they'll be more moral. And therefore, they'll be better stewards. But the truth is, making a Christian in government like Jimmy Carter doesn't help a thing. Might as well have the devil. Because he's not adding anything to Christianity, except that he walked instead of rode in the limousine and did a few other things like that. But even a Buddhist could have done that. And in fact, they should have. So there's nothing uniquely Christian about that. Your morals are common to all people. Why? Because they're morals. Morals means universal. It's something, kindness is recognized by everybody. That's not Christianity. That's a fruit of Christianity. That's a fruit of my faith. Faith active in love. They may not understand faith, but they do understand love. And they recognize, gee, you got a different kind of motive for doing what we're all trying to do. How'd you do that? See? And that's exactly what the fruit is of our faith, so that people see the light and see the salt. But it's indirect. It's not direct. We don't go directly in. Could Jesus directly rule the world? Yes. But he wouldn't. He'll never rule the world directly. But he could, because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He could easily just take over the political realm. But he's not going to do it. Why? Because it's not done yet. He's wanting to win men not through law. He could be king, just make them all do it. He's not trying to do it that way. He's trying to do it voluntarily through the church. But his problem is the church. His problem is not the state, it's the church. It's not the state, it's the church. The problem is the pastors aren't Christian. I don't mean they're not Christian at all. I just mean they're not Christian in their behavior. They're not mature. So they're baby Christians. Or they're not Christians at all. So confusion reigns everywhere. But that's all right. We like that. Because you know what? If you pray earnestly and seek God, you shall surely find him. If you personally want to find God, no one's stopping you. You could actually read your Bible without my exhorting you to. Y'all aware of that? You actually can do that. No one is going to stop you from praising God all day long. And I think I told you somewhere to do that. I believe I quoted that at some point. So you have no excuse. No one can say, well, later, well, Pastor Jim didn't teach us. Well, wait a minute. I don't have to teach you every little particular. All I had to teach you is read your Bible, fall in love with Jesus, you know, do everything he says. I'm sure I said that at least 10 times, maybe 11. I don't know. But so you are without excuse. No one helped me. I'll just say that right now. No one helped me. No one. I had to dig, and it was hard. Nobody helped me to find Jesus on my own. As a matter of fact, the church fought against me. The church didn't even want me to find Jesus. I mean, they did everything to substitute something else. It is not easy to be a Christian. I mean, as a pagan trying to get into Christianity, you met with a lot of hypocrites over here. You cannot figure out, whoa, is this person really in love with Jesus or just with their own pocketbook or with some girlfriend or whatever? And Christians are hypocrites, by and large. But not everyone, praise God. There's always a few individuals that you look at and you realize, well, that's a true Christian. But I don't know how mature they are. They're not always wise as serpent and innocent as dove. So you look for the few that are really mature as well as Christian. Where you go, that person, that is Jesus. That is like in the Bible. And I found people like that. When I found people like that, they didn't even know they had this effect on me. I mean, I told them. They didn't even know it. I realized, if they can do it, I can do it. You know, no one made me become a Christian, but I just knew right away, I want what they have. And I don't know why I wanted it, because at first I hated it. The first 3 days, I hated it. You know, I was just like, I don't want to be like that. But then I realized I was wrong. But I'll have to say this. I think God convicted me. First, he showed me the light, and when I saw it, it was just too blinding. I said, I don't want like that. But then 3 days later, for some reason, I went, what do you have? You know, nothing. With all of your darkness, you're not getting anywhere. It could be that you need to change. A few people have noted that. And here I am, and I'm happy. From that hour, from that moment, from that day, my life has been absolutely in love, peaceful, powerful. I cannot say today that I love Jesus more than I did in that moment. I loved him in that moment, and I couldn't say I'm better, more, greater. I'd say it's exactly the same. The minute I met him, I fell in love. The second I met him, I just fell in love, just like that. Full blown. It was total. Didn't know a thing. I didn't know anything, but it was full blown. Jesus, I love you. And I had peace in my heart. Scared to death, too, because I'd never been that way before. What's it like to be loved by someone unconditionally? See, humans had not given me that. Those people didn't give me that. They didn't love me unconditionally. But I could see they understood his unconditional love. It wasn't their unconditional love. It was his toward them, and they accepted it. I could see, I want that. I want that. They've got peace I don't have. They've got something I don't have. This Jesus guy must be real. And so I fell in love. I hope that's your story. I hope that happened to you. Did that happen to you? You know, you fell in love. I mean, I didn't care now about food. I didn't care now about sleep. I didn't care now about, you know, being great. I didn't care about anything. I just wanted to read the Bible and pray all the time. Spend time with Jesus. I didn't want to be in the church. I didn't want to preach sermons. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to get to know Jesus. So I didn't care about marriage. I didn't care about children. I didn't care about anything. I just wanted to know Jesus. And so I, 6-8 hours a day, I'd just spend reading Bible, praying, confessing. Didn't even know what the rules were. I'd never been taught this in Yale. No one had ever taught me about how to be a Christian. So it was all new. And there was no one to help me. And even the people that might have couldn't. And the closer I got to Christians, I thought, well, I think she's got it too. Or I think he's got it. I was so disappointed. It's like, no, I don't think so. They don't have it either. I mean, I'm definitely not a Christian of any worth. But that person is faking. They're not in love all the time. They're in love sometimes. I don't want that. I want all the time. I mean, I came out of the world. Why should I compromise now? I already had everything I wanted in the world. It wasn't like anything was held back from me. It was just like, I don't want to go that way anymore. I want to go with the Jesus way. And so I got to find people. I thought every Christian would be a Christian, but I found out right away they're not. They're charismatic people. They didn't even speak in tongues many times. And, you know, all this stuff. And I was always surprised that, well, how come you're here then? You know, and it was just they were kind of like looking on. I knew I was looking on, but I found out they were looking on. So I was looking on someone that was looking on someone. So who are we looking on? I'd like to follow them. So I began to look for leaders. Surely, you know, and then I could name off, you know, 20, 30 leaders. I'll go and live with that person. I'll go into their meetings. I'll read all their books. I'll try to find out what they've got. And I did. I was super blessed by that. But I also found out none of them were perfect. So I realized, well, I guess I'll have to be the first perfect one because there isn't any. I mean, these people are all disappointed. And I'm the least candidate for perfect. I'm not even close. So this is a pretty abysmal thing. And I told Jesus that. Jesus, you got a poor crew here. You know, you need to do something. You need to get some new people or something. But God said, well, let's not worry about that. Let's just take care of you. Yeah, but that could take a long time. Yeah. Let's just get going right now. Let's just get going. Let's get one sin a day. Let's just start getting you one at a time. And I thought, oh, man, it's going to take forever. Why don't you get rid of all my sins? No, we'll just get rid of the next one. You know, it's like, oh, man, this is going to be hard. And I realized, well, you're right. What good was this life anyway? It wasn't really life. So I fell in love with Jesus, kept going. I never complained again. After that, I realized, well, don't worry about it. When he tells me to stop sowing, I'll stop. And if he doesn't, I'm just going to keep going. I'm not going to ever ask where it's going, what it amounts to, whatever. Just have a love affair with Jesus and forget everything else. Don't worry about being great or famous or understand everything or anything else. Just fall in love with Jesus yourself. So did you do that? Did everybody here do that? Just fall in love all on your own. Don't worry about criticizing everybody else along the road that isn't wherever you thought they were supposed to be. Just benefit from everybody that you can and throw the rest away. How many know that you can't get everything from anybody? You can't get everything from me. How many know that I have incredible blind spots and big gaping holes and so on? So you just can't get it from me. There's no way. But it's good enough. You can get enough if you're desperate. You can get to really be desperate. But if you're desperate, you can get a little bit. Why? Because that's the way God does it. And I'm not sure there isn't anything any better anyway. Because every time I look at somebody, I think, now that person might be a little further along. I'm always disappointed when I look closely. It's like, it's a good thing I didn't follow. Because they're not further along. Are you following me? So I just stay in my whatever I am stage. I'm no longer looking around to see where the glory spot is pouring out. I'm no longer running from church to church to church to meeting to book to, I'm no longer doing that. But I did do that for years. I bought every tape that Malcolm Smith made or Hal Lindsey or, Sisters of Mary or whatever. I mean, I did everything. And I followed everybody, and I still have all those books. I read all of Watchman Nee, I read everything Andrew Murray wrote, just everything. And that was good. I mean, I wouldn't be where I am today without all that. But I found the only ones that were really good were the dead ones. I couldn't find live ones. The ones that were dead always seemed a better one. It's God, how come you ran out when you got to my generation? They had them in the 18th century, 17th, in our generation, it seems like we have all the liars and the, two-timers and whatnot. How come we don't have any good ones, that I could join up with? But anyway, so after a while, you just fall in love with Jesus. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. Knowing Jesus alone is all I want now. I don't want to find a brother. I don't want to find a sister. I don't want to find a leader anywhere. I don't. If I do, that's fine. In California the other day, I met a black pastor, and immediately we were friends just like that. I like him a lot, but I don't want to look real close because I might find all kinds of flaws and so on. But, it's good enough what I saw. It's good enough. So that's as deep as I want to look. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I don't want to look really, 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 really close because I don't know that I'll find it. But we had perfect fellowship because I'm not pressing it real hard. So you can get something from everyone, but I don't know if you can get everything from anyone. So get it from Jesus. So the secret to my life is all the time you don't know me. The secret to my life is not when you see me and hear me. The secret is how much time I spend in the closet with Jesus, alone, in the car, alone, not with anybody. You cannot suck it from another person. You've got to get it directly from Jesus. Now, other people can be helpful to you, but in the end, you got to get it directly from Jesus. And for that, you can almost get it anywhere. You could probably get in a dead church. As long as you read your own Bible and prayed your own prayers and so on, you could probably be in a dead church. So I'm not so eager to have everybody join our church or something as though that would be helpful. Stay where you are. Because all you need is Jesus. And you can learn negatively in a dead church. Because you, after a while, you begin to realize, you know what? This minister has been having an affair all these years, and I didn't even know it. And that can grow you up too. And that's sobering. Is now what am I going to do? Changing churches, is that what does it? I don't think so. I don't think superficial moves make the difference. Basically, you could probably grow anywhere. I could grow anywhere. But you better have a strong, deep walk with Jesus. And the sooner you get done with all your illusions about churches and peoples and all that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, here's a ministry. This has six things better than the other one. It doesn't. It may have six things better, but it has 15 things worse. So, I mean, it's not going to be a deal. So if you want to go for a while just to learn some new things, that's good. Get some new ideas. But in the end, I don't think you're going to get it except from reading the Bible, falling in love with Jesus, praying for the Holy Spirit, and letting Him flood you. All right. Forget not all His benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'll tell you, the greatest thing you can do is bless. But here, you're not blessing people. Not even blessing yourself. You're blessing the Lord, O my soul. Why? It tells you right here why. Because He's a beneficial kind of God. He's a good God. The only reason you're going to bless Him is not because He's mean. You're going to bless Him because He gives benefits. Now, right-handed benefits. Now, I'm gonna do something that I don't know I can prove this. But I'm not sure if he's talking about his left hand, but I'm absolutely certain he's talking about his right hand. So I don't ask me to tie it down too tight. Because his benefits are natural and necessary under the law, but and that's to all men. But I don't think he's talking to all men. I think he's talking just to his believers here, and I think it's a right-handed benefits, like mercy. And the only way I can prove that is to see if the verses that follow after it say so. I want to check it out, because if it says nature, then I'll know it includes both. But I know at least it's about mercy and power and majesty and glory. In other words, special revelation, not natural revelation. Not natural revelation known to all men by reason and morals, but special revelation. So I think when it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, I think he's talking about the benefits that come in time and space, in history, not that you were born with. Not that he gives you just as a natural concomitant of being alive. I believe these are special benefits that come only to his beloved. And I am his beloved. That is one thing no one can take from me. I don't know how good a lover I am back, but I know if I am, it's totally due to the fact that he loved me first. That I'm not going to let go of. If somebody says, well, how good a lover are you? I don't know. I don't really even want to look at that. You know, I may be good or may not be good. I don't want to look at it. But I know this. The thing I concentrate on is not how good I'm responding. The thing I'm concentrated on is beholding him. Why? So good. So whether I'm not doing good or whether I am doing good, I don't want to take the pride for am, and I don't want to take the depression for not. I just want to focus on him. So I don't spend a lot of time analyzing my soul. Now, I do every morning. I wake up every morning. I pour out my soul. I just pour it out. I don't have any rules for it. It just pours out. You know, it's just whatever's in there, good and bad, flesh and spirit. I just pour it all out. I've got, I love you, Jesus. Then I've got, no, I probably don't. I got all of that in there, and I just pour it all out on the table. It's full of contradictions and so on. One's on the spiritual level, one's on the psychological level, one's on, you know, they're just all over the map. And I don't try to figure it out. I just gush it all out because I'm pouring out my soul. So if you pour out your soul, it's like taking the garbage thing and dumping it on the table. You just pour everything that's in there out. And there's some good stuff and there's some bad stuff and it's just all mixed up together. And Jesus sorts it out. No, yes, no, yes, no. Oh, what's that? Okay. You know, he's just sorting it all out. And when it's all done, he'll show me the little bit. Here's your good, Jim. It's like, well, praise the Lord for that. You know, and here's all the evil that I'll have to burn up. Put that in the fire. Thank you. You come back tomorrow. And so every day I pour out my soul to God. And I don't expect it that he's ever going to accept the whole wastebasket full of stuff. You know, I don't expect that. I don't even want that. I am so happy that I have a God that can sort it all out, first of all, which I can't. And second of all, that he'll burn up all the bad stuff and leave me only with a little good that's left. And it's probably just his love and his mercy. He probably put that nickel in there even. You know, here, Jim, you did have this nickel. And he probably gave it to me as a free gift because I probably didn't have anything in there. But whether I did or I didn't, even if I did, I would give him all the glory anyway because I didn't do it. If there was any work that I did that he did, then I didn't did it. He did it. So really, it doesn't make any difference. I know I'm going to get a reward every day. Maybe it's going to be holiness that convicts me. Maybe it's going to be mercy that, you know, forgives me. And maybe it's going to be power that enables me. Whatever it is, I'm taking it. And actually, I want all of it. I want the conviction and the forgiveness and the power. And the wisdom, and the favor. I want it all till I'm like Christ. And I believe I'm growing, but growing doesn't mean growing. Growing means dying quicker. I believe I'm growing, but I'm just dying quicker. And I always amaze myself even. Are you ever amazed at yourself? That you actually can see that you kind of grew a little bit. I mean, I'm just amazed. Not in a pride thing, but just in a, wow, that I think that was from Jesus. You know, it's just kind of like a, wow, thank you, Jesus. Not, wow, that was great, I'm finally growing. It wasn't like that. It's not like that because that would be pride. But I think it's just amazing grace. Y'all amazed at grace? That God keeps you alive because he likes to give benefits to those that belong to him who didn't do anything. The law told me I didn't. The mercy forgave me for not doing it. And the power did it all for me, so I didn't do any of that either. But I'm just amazed at all his benefits. So I don't want to forget his benefits. And every day, every single day, I remember all his benefits. I go through the law. I go through the gospel. I go through everything. And every day I get his benefits again. And I'm happy again. That's why when you see me, I'm happy. Not that I have a smile on my face. I'm not talking about that kind of superficial happy. I'm just deeply happy. Thank you, Jesus. Because you know what I'm aware of every day? How am I even alive? How am I even making it? And when I hear other people's lives and stuff, I just think, boy, I could be right there myself. Thank God that I even have any faith today. If what happened to them would happen to me, I don't know if I'd have any either. I'd probably give up like them, you know. And I'm more aware of his greatness and my poverty than I am of my greatness before it, right? So every day, I thank God that I can confess my sin, that I can be forgiven, and then I can be filled with the Spirit and guided and led and so on. And to God be the glory. It's a childlike way of living. That this is my secret, not theology and thinking and doing and so on. My the beauty of me is I'm dead and he's alive. That's my beauty. I love that. I love that. It's so great just to be me. Pour out my soul. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. So I put out all this stuff. God, there you have it. So I'm, ooh. It's a lot of bad stuff here. Yes, sir. Well, could you sort it out? Because I don't know what was good and bad. Jim, there really is nothing here. No, there's nothing here that's any good. Sorry. Maybe tomorrow. Okay, well, we'll see tomorrow. I'll have to burn all this. But at least, you know, I love you, Jim. Whew, that was worth it. That was worth it. So he burned up all my works that day. But thank God he still loves me. You know, isn't that great? He scoops all the stuff. Jim, sorry. Sorry about that. Okay, you come back tomorrow. Oh, and by the way, Jim, spend some more time with me. Because that all of that was done by you. Oh, yeah, forgot that. Forgot that little point. Have you ever noticed that? I forgot yesterday to praise you. Oh, yeah, I forgot. And then when I did, it was such a, you know, unusual thing that I got proud about it. It's still not a habit with me. Is it with any of you? You know, where, you know, you just automatically, you know, love the Lord. It's still, I have to remember, I think I mess up every day. Anybody further along than I am? Anybody? Okay. Well, you're about in the same boat, so you deserve me. I'm sorry. But you know what? That's what you want. I don't know that there is any better. I don't know that you ever get any further. I haven't gotten there. I mean, some days I'm stronger than others, it seems. But I'm not even going to judge myself. I don't want to. All I know is God loves me. That I'm not letting go of. I'm not going to let go of that mercy. Now, I'm not sure that I'm always convicted of all the things I need to be convicted of, and I'm not sure that I'm always empowered to do all the things I'm supposed to be doing, but I do know one thing, that mercy, I really love that. I love that mercy part. Could we go over the mercy again? Could we go over that mercy one more time? Tell the part where you love me unconditionally. Go over that. Just say that again. You remember little kids? You ever had little kids, and they'll always say, do it again. You ever do that? That's me. God, could you do that again? And they won't quit. They wear you out, and you know it, and you just begin to really be angry at that little kid for do it again. The first couple of times, it's cute. But after a while, it's like, no, I'm not going to do it again. You know, it's like a dog with a bone. Throw it again. You know, they just don't want to quit. Could you go over that good part again? I love to take little babies and put them on the bed and then bounce the bed so that they flip over. They ever do that? They love it. See, at first, they're like that. They're horrified. But as soon as then you smile at them and let them know that was fun, then they go, again. Just do it again. And you can keep doing it. And they love it every time. And they love it. They start laughing. Do you ever see that? Maybe you don't do that. But I love doing that to little bitty kids. Because otherwise they're crying or something. So that just slows them down from that crying thing. You start bouncing them. They don't have time to butt the tummy and all that. Now they're just excited about flying through the sky. I was not a good dad, but I did have a lot of fun. And my kids love that kind of stuff. Dad, do it again. Or another one, they love to get your arms and then walk up your body and flip over. They love that. They just want to keep going. Or swing them around in a circle. They love that. They don't ever want to quit. And aren't you dizzy? And they fall down, and they're so dizzy and so on. Do it again. No, I'm not doing it anymore. And you cannot stop them from wanting to keep going. So now you do it really, you know, so that they're totally dizzy. But then as soon as they get up again, do it again. So little kids are like that. That's me. That is a perfect picture of me every day with God. God, say you love me one more time. I know about the sin part, but let's go over the part where you love me. Let's do it again. Are you all like that? Forget not all his benefits. So I never want to forgive all his benefits. Now look at the next verse. It gives the key. I know I'm on the right track now. For who forgives, this is not nature now. This is not natural benefits. This forgive is over here, right hand. It's the elbow part. You know, it's not up here at the shoulder, the law of Moses. It's down here, Jesus the Savior. And it's not this part here about, you know, the Holy Spirit operating in me. It's right here, Jesus. Father, Son, Jesus. This is all right hand. So I'm going for the elbow. Woo, woo. Yeah, that's what I'm going for. And here it says, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Ah, now he's got both. Elbow plus heals. Heals is out here. Elbow, forgive, is here. So only those that he forgives, he heals. So this is third. That's the Holy Spirit in you to willing to do and all that kind of stuff. Here is the forgiveness, and here is showing me my sin. Repent, believe, obey. Repent, believe, obey. Does that make sense? All right, so now, what are his benefits? Well, they're not over here. I think they're these kind of benefits. Don't forget these benefits. Why? Because these weren't necessitated. They were free. He didn't have to give them. He didn't have to show me my sin. He didn't have to forgive me. And he didn't have to heal my diseases. Didn't have to. There's no necessity to do it. The law didn't do any of that. This law convicted me, but it was a blessing because this law didn't. Even though this law did, I blunted my conscience. I didn't want to hear it. I changed it. I altered it. But this law over here, it says be perfect. It's too high. Whoa, could you change that a little bit? This is not a good human one here. Could you make it more like my size? You know, over here I could manipulate it a little bit. Because it's common to all men. What do you think? What do you think about that? No, we all do that. Oh, okay, good. Well, do you lie sometimes? Oh, sure, everybody lies. Oh, good, very good. So that was where Freud was helping everybody over here, you see, because he didn't like Moses. So he altered him. And all of our teachers are over here trying to make it, no. You think God wouldn't God be loving? Don't you think? You know, and they're just always blunting the law over here, so you can't get it. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Probably not, but anyway, I understand what I'm saying. It's very good. Now, God's benefits are over here. Forget not his benefits. What? He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. Now, I could have said, he shows me all my sin, because that's a great benefit. And he forgives all my iniquities, and he heals all my diseases. I like that. Now, that's the kind of right arm benefit that I want to forget. Because I need that all the time. Because I'm always messing up, so I always need the forgiveness, and I always need the power. Because I'm not only bad, but I'm impotent. There's two things. I'm bad and impotent. First, I'm bad, so I need to be forgiven. And then I'm impotent. I need a little help. Holy Spirit, will you empower me? How many know when the Holy Spirit comes, he will give you power? But I need the power down here to heal all my diseases, give me guidance, you know, give me favor. I need power down here. It's always my first interest. But actually, this one is bigger. Forgiving me all my sins is bigger than this one. This is just the fruit of that. Right? So, God, could you do this and then this and then this? Could you all three of those? Don't forget all my benefits. Amen? Who redeems my life from destruction. Ah, there it is. Right hand. Now watch this. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Elbow. Right there. That's what God, that's why, don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget he's merciful to you. He will, in other words, he'll never be hard on you because of your sin. He'll hate your sin but love you. I like that. What he showed me up here was I had sin, but what he showed me here was he loved the I. The one that did the sin he hated, but he didn't hate the person that did it. He just hated the sins. And then he separated those by killing Jesus up here under the law. Jesus is the one that died up here, and then he forgave me. But Jesus died up here under the law. I don't even need to go to the law. Forget all his benefits. Wow, look at that. Don't forget this. Jesus died for all these sins. Now, I'm the one that's forgiven. It should have been Jesus. But it was me. He did it for me. He did it for me. He did it for me. Yahoo! This is good news. Benefit is just another word for good news. It just means a good work. It just means a deed that God has done to benefit somebody called a beneficiary. What's a beneficiary? That's the recipient of the benefit. Well, all men are recipients over here, but only some men are recipients over here. I want to be part of the sum. At one time, I wanted to be part of the all. Now I want to be part of the sum. So I have to be called out of this world into this smaller elite group. Well, it's not an elite group. It's a wicked group. It's a group that realizes we've fallen short over here. So you don't get over here because you're better. You get over here because you're worse. Or you recognize it. You see it. So that's what I want. I don't want to be over here with all mankind, because now I realize I'm not better than they are. I'm worse than they are. That is, I see it now because of Jesus. When I saw his life, I realized, well, I'm not like that. I don't turn the other cheek. I don't want to be generous to people. I don't want to love others. You know, I thought over here you just did the best you could. But now I found out you have to be perfect. And I found out that perfect means Jesus. I didn't even know what it meant. I thought it meant better than you were last week. Over here, to be perfect means, well, I was really a scoundrel last week and I've improved quite a bit. Well, I thought that's all it was. Or graded on a curve somehow. Well, I'm not as bad as he is, so I just felt like I'd pretty much done the law, and everybody else said so too. Isn't he no good? Yes, sir. He's demonic. Very good. Well, you and I weren't. So I'm okay over here until Jesus comes along and I realize I'm not like Jesus. And he condemns everybody. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All my righteousness is filthy rag now. Even my good stuff over here is not good. But before I thought it was. Now I realize the truth. So his right hand are all of his benefits. So I just see him giving all these benefits of his holiness, of his mercy, and of his power. I just see him giving all those benefits. I see that's love. Love gave me this to keep me alive, and then gave me this to give me life. This one kept me alive. This one gave me life. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I got it over here. This was just biological life. This was spiritual life. Didn't have that over here. Here I was just temporal. I was going to die. Here I can live forever. Here I was outside his family. Here I'm in his family. Ooh, I like this benefit. This is the ones I don't want to forget. I'm never going to forget that Jesus Christ turned my life around. I'm never going to forget that. I don't forget that. I'm aware of that every minute of every second of every day. Jesus, thank you for being Jesus. And I talk to him like that. Thank you, Jesus. I would be such a fraud otherwise. I would be stuck over here. I would. I would be going back and forth from real wicked to pretending not to be to, you know, thinking I was okay. But now I don't have to do any of that. That's all vain. That's all wasted. Now I'm over here where I'm really alive. I belong to Jesus. Yahoo! He's perfecting me. He's recreating me. Now he's forgiving me. Now he's helping me. Now he's perfecting me. He's doing it all. Yahoo! Those are benefits. That is a benefit the rest of the world doesn't even know. The Hindus don't know about it. The Buddhists don't know about it. None of the other people know about it. I got to tell them. Well, those words would be empty, but my preaching would be not in vain if I did it with power and in demonstration. So these benefits are good because they don't see this and this. These are hidden. They only see, you can't see my arm. You can only see my hand out here. So this is all hidden. Whoop, whoop. You know, sleeve. You know, so you can't see all that. But here's what the world sees. So let these benefits, when they see that, they go, you, why would God bless you? You're not that hot. He forgave me, liked me. He liked you? Well, I don't like you. I know, but he does. So I don't care if you like me. I'm liked by my dad, my father which art in heaven. Yeah, I like that. So I'm happy that God loves me just the way I am. Just as I am, without one plea. That's all. I thank God. I don't have a plea, meaning I can't say anything. He doesn't have to. He didn't have to forgive me. Didn't have to show me the law. He didn't have to heal all my diseases. Aren't you amazed that you're not sick? Aren't you amazed you're here today? Do you know that some people today are sick? They're at death's door. Thank God we're not. I'm thanking God for that. Not that they're sick, but that I'm not. I should be. Usually the people that are sick are better than I am. You go and see them. And sometimes you think, well, they deserve that. But a lot of times you know they didn't. You know, that's a pretty nice person. And here I am, not all that nice, and I'm walking around okay. I feel like I'm cheating the game. I feel like, well, I don't know how I got here. But I must have a God, and I'm not going to forget all these benefits. In fact, when I go and talk to the other person, I'm going to tell them, you know, you have a God that loves you. I'm going to remind them. You have a God that loves you. Don't give up hope. Don't quit. I always have to pray for people that are sick and been told awful things and so on. And, you know, you got to cheer people up because they're pretty low. If they're in the hospital or they're sick or their marriage is falling apart or whatever, you got to, you know, cheer them up. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Isn't that amazing? Anybody here have youth like that? Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Don't you feel like you're still 18, 22? Well, not your body, but your soul. You know, don't you feel like you're getting younger every day? I do. I actually feel like, you know, I don't feel like I'm 67. I don't feel old. I feel like I'm young. I feel like I'm just getting started. It's too exciting. You all like that? You know, like, thank you, Jesus. I can wake up every day with hope. Look how easy it would be to not hope. Many benefits. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Now, that could be over here on the left side. But it also could be over here on the right side. So I'm going to not forget all his benefits, including these natural ones. But the Lord says, for all who are oppressed. And I have a feeling that means his benefits are not just exclusively right, but they're also left. You see, we got the clue right out of the Bible. It says all. Now, it could mean all believers. So let's see what he says. He made known his ways to Moses. Well, that's special, right hand. His acts to the children of Israel. That's right hand. But the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. That's right hand. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. That's right hand. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. But that has to be left hand too, because the wages of sin is death, and they're not all dead. I used to be in this group over here, and I wasn't dead, but I should have been, because the wages of sin is death. But thank God he postponed it a little bit till I could meet Jesus. I'm so glad now that I didn't die at 18 or 23 or 30. I'm glad now that I lived, because I was not a Christian. I didn't believe in God. I was so wicked, so selfish, so into myself. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that I didn't die. I thank God that I'm no longer 30 years old, because that's when I first heard about it, you know. I thank God. That's the first time I heard about it. I was already 30, and I didn't even get become a real serious Christian, I mean, in the sense of this outward stuff, for another 3 years, till I was 33. I remember, you know, I couldn't get a hold of it. I knew Jesus loved me, but I couldn't make it work. I could only get the mercy thing. I could sin and get forgiven, sin and get forgiven, sin and get forgiven, sin and get forgiven. And I was just always, is there any hand to this? I don't think so. You know, and I didn't know how you get this part down here. But for 3 years, I kept working at it and getting nowhere. Absolutely getting nowhere. Somebody said, well, when are you going to become a Christian that anyone else could notice? I don't know. I mean, right now, all I can see is my sin and see that he loves me. And I'm not letting that go either. Well, you don't have any evidence. You don't have any fruit. You're right. I don't. Peggy was really the one that noticed this. she pointed this out quite frequently. What are you so happy for? Because she resented the fact that I was happy. Because Jesus loves me. Yeah, well, where's your fruit if you were really a Christian? Well, I am really a Christian. Well, you're not. It says in the Bible you should have fruit. Well, it takes time. So after 3 or 4 years, you still don't have any? Well, it's coming slowly. Jesus is, he probably has other people to work on. He's hadn't got around to me yet. No, I'm probably a slow learner. Anyway, Peggy wanted to take away my joy because she hated the fact that I was happy. What are you happy for? Because I'm a Christian. You're a sinner. I know that. But he forgives me. Well, where's the fruit? I don't know. That's a really good question. And I never argued with her about that. That is a really good question. Well, I don't see any love. Well, you're right. Well, I don't know where that's coming. I think it's up to Jesus, though. I don't want to be a hypocrite and a legalist or something here. She said, you're just saying that because you want to sin. You're probably right. But I know he forgives me. I know he forgives me. If you just be patient, you'll see it. I'm sure someday he's just going to get it out there. I didn't know how to get it myself. I didn't know how to get it. Did y'all go through something like that? Did y'all go through something like that? Did anybody else go that little journey that I just did like that? I was mostly just sinning and then being forgiven. And he would convict me, and I felt that part was good, but I couldn't figure out how to get this part out here. I didn't know how you got that part. I mean, I knew I'd heard the people teachings and stuff like that, and I agreed with them all, but I couldn't get it. Beholding him were changed, and so I kept beholding him, but I wasn't changed from beholding him, I wasn't changed. I didn't know how do you get that? Come on, God, do, go. And then I thought, well, maybe it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If I could get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it might break out. I tried to get that on my own. So I can't get it, God. My language sounds awful. I think I'm making it up. I am. That's me. That's not you. Should flow out. Okay, I'll give you one more shot. I'm going to open my mouth now. Here's your turn. Oh, no, that's not you either. So I was ready to give up because I couldn't figure out how to get the hand part. Do y'all understand? This is the work of the Holy Spirit, and I couldn't release him. And they said, "Well, you're too smart." Yeah, but how can I be dumb if I think I'm smart? I mean, I don't know how to be dumb. I'm not going to make it. I'm never going to make it. And then the verse that came to me was, "He has revealed it to babes, but to the wise of the age, he's not going to reveal it." He's like, "Ah, that's it. I'm not going to get it. Jesus, I'm not going to make it. I'll never make it. I'm not going to make it. But do you still love me anyway?" And I'd run back to the elbow. And I just didn't move from that until Jesus then did something. And I knew once he did it, it's like, oh, it's over. It's like, wow, I'm a real Christian with fruits too. See that? Look at here. Look, everybody. There's some fruits out here. Isn't that funny? So convicting, forgiving, enabling, empowering, guiding, leading, all that stuff. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. 8. He will not always chide, neither will keep his anger forever. 9. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Ooh, ooh, there's a good one right there. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Why? Because if he did, I'd be dead. Thank God I'm not dead, because if he'd have dealt with me after my sins, I should be dead. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm staying on the elbow. And I just stayed on that elbow. And did you know that beholding him, you're actually changed? The change is out here, but the forgiveness is here. Beholding him, who? The one that was a good example, the one that forgave me for not being, is also the one that lives through me, Christ in me, through the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so there, it did finally come out. He didn't reward me according to my sins, my shoulder, but he rewarded me according to his love to me. And I finally got the reward. That just took me a long time to believe that he would actually use a person like me who knew that he was no good and who believed in his mercy but didn't know how to make it work. But when it did, I knew it's Jesus. It had to be, because I couldn't ever look at myself and see the good work. I had to always look at him who had done a good work. I could never look at myself because I knew all I could see here was sin. Every time I looked at myself, I just couldn't see how I was Jesus. I just didn't look like Jesus. You know why? Because I wasn't. I just wasn't like Jesus. But he forgave me and imputed to me righteousness. Now he actually was working it in me. Now I knew that's Christianity. I mean, I have a story of how that came about. It didn't just happen. I have a story. But nevertheless, it happened. However it happened, it happened. And that was like, whew, I'm a real Christian. I'm not just a talking Christian, because I was afraid I was just a talking Christian. You're just talking, but you don't really have anything. You have this great theology that doesn't work anything. It never does anything. Where's your God? I don't know. I don't know. I keep going to meetings thinking he'll jump out on me, but he doesn't. He just never jumped out on me. People would come up and I'd say, "Well, I think I need something," and they would grab a hold of me and, "You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost." They would do things and push me down and all this stuff. And I didn't get in the Holy Ghost. They just felt foolish. And I was mad at them for pushing me down. I remember Owen Kane pushed me down. I was the only one standing, like a cucumber in a big field, I was the only one standing, and I could tell he was frustrated that I didn't go down, because it was kind of like making it look like he kept pushing on me. So I'd go down, and I stood there like this. I'm not going down. Because I wanted to be the Holy Spirit. I wasn't mad at him. I wanted to be the Holy Spirit. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. Let him push me down. Nobody's pushing me down. This guy's pushing me down like this. You know, they have different tricks. You know, they put their hand behind your back and then push you like this and all that stuff. Put their foot behind you. Have catchers. Anyway, praise God. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Elbow. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. That was shoulder. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Shoulder. As for man, his days are as grass, flower of the field. Shoulder. So he flourishes. Now he's talking about all men, so that's left hand. For the wind passes over it. It's gone. The place shall know it no more. But, right hand. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. In other words, not only to me, but to my children. I want that. I got the elbow part of it. I don't have the hand part of it yet. You know, so I was trying to figure out that part. And that's why I went to every meeting and listened to every tape and so on. The Lord, to such as keep his covenant. I thought, oh, that's it. I can't keep it. And to those who remember his commandments to do them. Now that I realize, oh, God, I can't do that part. I can do the shoulder sinning, but I can't do the keeping your commandment part. You know, I don't know how to do that. You're going to have to somehow crucify my old man, because I just can suppress it and be a hypocrite, but I don't think I can get rid of it. I didn't know how you did that. I mean, all he knew, keep looking at Jesus, the merciful one, but it wasn't seen to produce anything. So that was very frustrating. And I'd just cry out to him, God, I don't know what else to do. I don't know how to get this. Help me. Everybody's talking about it, but I don't know how they got it, if they got it. But I know I'm not getting it. To such as keep his commandments and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens. Ah, there. Shift up to heaven. Don't shift to Jim. See, right there. That was good. Shift. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. Good, maybe the hope up there. And his kingdom ruleth over all. So then I began saying, oh, I know what it is. I'm just going to say it as though it was true because it's true in heaven. That's who I am in Christ. That's who Christ is in me, even though on earth it hasn't shown up yet. There's nothing can be seen here yet. So I'll just say it. I'm the righteousness of Christ. I'm the righteousness of Christ. Christ is in me. I'm in Christ. You know, and I just kept saying it, thinking that will help. It didn't help. It didn't help. But it was good. It felt good. At least I was not depressed because I had my little mechanism thing. It's kind of like the faith teaching stuff, you know, my position in Christ. Well, you know, you may not be able to have all this stuff out here, but I've got a position in Christ anyway. And so I tried that for a long time. Everybody else do that? That was my next game that I was trying. Bless the Lord, you his angels. Well, that ruled me out right there. And that excel in strength and do his commandments. Wait a minute, angels do his commandments? How come? Because he's sitting on the throne. Then maybe it's for me. And that's when it came to me. Wait a minute. Maybe it is already done. Wait a minute, now I got to think about this. Maybe I do love my mom. The love of God spread abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Ah, yeah, that's it. I'm getting it. And that made me feel good for a while. See, so I thought, this word is still working. It's working now. So I got excited because I thought I'd kind of figured it out. You know, how you get it, how you get crucified, how you get your old man dead. And, you know, so and it seemed to work. That seemed to be, yeah, I see a little movement right there. There's something happening. You know, but it was still a lot of faith. It was really heavy faith, you know, and very little bit of flicker on the finger there. Did you see it move? So I was excited to see this here, and I wanted. And one of the first things happened. There was a miracle. I had a miracle. Catherine Kuhlman came to town, and so on. I've told you that story, but you know, and I got miraculously healed. So that you see that right there? I did that. That happened to me. So I got healed. So I was running around trying to find those things, going to whichever church might have one of those things, because that would strengthen my case. You know, definitely Christian. See that? That guy's alive, and so. I was trying to move away from the shoulder to the elbow, get right down into the hand where you could say, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is really me. But I knew it had something probably to do not with healings, but have to do with character, where he actually changed me. And I didn't really want to go there because I figured that was going to be a long route. You know, I like the miracle part where it just happens to you, because Catherine Kuhlman had the faith and she said the words and I just accepted it. That was easier on me than it was getting all the sin out of my life. That seemed to me to be taking hours and days and weeks and years and decades. So it just seemed like that's way too long. Could we just keep getting the healing things and the miracle ones, you know, wealth and health and all that? I like that message very good. But I don't like the idea that, you know, it's going to have to actually get all the sin out of my life, because I have a feeling that might not happen, because I have no experience on that whatsoever. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So I was hoping that the hand thing was just healings and money, something like that, you know, something down there that, you know, give me a parking space somewhere or something like that. I was hoping it wasn't character. I didn't have a great deal of character. So, you know, I mean, in fact, I'm just a natural scoundrel, so I had no character at all. And I didn't think anything would ever come of that. But I could say the Christ in me thing. Christ in me loves Peggy. Christ in me loves you. Christ in me. You know, so that was my, I could use that as kind of a shield if anybody tried to attack me. Yes, but Christ in me. Well, do you feel that? No. I don't feel anything. Well, do you really want that? Not particularly, but Christ in me does. See, so I didn't know how to make it work. I didn't know how to make it work. And pastors, I'm telling you, they're not that helpful. Because they're telling you the right way to do it, but they never tell you all the wrong things you can do, because I was doing all the wrong things. Whatever they told me to do, I couldn't do it. I was just doing the wrong things. I didn't know what to do if you did a wrong thing. And they never said, now don't do it this way, because that's the wrong way. They never taught that part. They just told, here's what you're supposed to get. You know, whatever, and I didn't have that. So I didn't know how to get that part. They were way too beyond me. I was just trying to learn baby steps. So I was trying to figure out, well, now, but how do you get in the first place where you die like that? How do you get that, where you crucify your flesh? Mine never crucifies. It just stays alive. It is alive. I have lively flesh. I don't know how to get that thing crucified. I can mangle it a little bit, but I can't crucify it. If you ever mangle your flesh, get down in there, squash it down in the box, and put the lid on real fast and try to hold it. But it somehow comes up. My flesh would come up every morning. It would just be right back in full force. Y'all, can anybody identify with me? Please help me out here. So forget not all his benefits. So, but the one thing I never let go of was the elbow. I figured, well, I don't know how good I am in this part down here, but at least if I got some blood flowing from my shoulder to the elbow, I got to count that as something pretty good. And I hope that's going to count when I stand before him someday and he says, Jim, let's see the good works you've done. I don't know if I have any. I don't think so. I have a lot of evil works. I don't think I have any. But you sure forgave a lot. I didn't know if that was going to count. Should I have not some evidence, some proof, some demonstration other than some miracles that happened? So I didn't know how to get that. But forget not all his benefits. Why? He heals all your diseases. He forgives all your sins. You know, on and on and on. So I'm keep focusing on this to try to get a hold of it. I didn't know how it worked. Almost done. Bless you, the Lord, all his hosts, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. You know, that verse is very interesting. Now, he's talking about angels there, but he says, all you his hosts, he's probably talking about the angels there, you ministers of his, but I realize, well, I'm a minister. Am I really a minister of his? Do I do his pleasure? I think I sin and get forgiven. I don't know if I do his pleasure. And so I had to think about that. You know, that was convicting me. It wasn't helping me to produce fruit, but it was helping me to stay on the shoulder a little longer. You see what I mean? In other words, I was seeing more sin than I was seeing power. I was seeing more sin than I was seeing power. But that was very good for me because it humbled me. I wasn't going to lie and fake it down here. It's like, God, I don't know how to get that out there. They're all talking about it, and I don't know if they have it or not. But I don't have it for sure. So all I see is more sin. I mean, I got so much sin. I got tons of it. Either other people have less or they're lying, you know, because I got a ton of it. I don't know how to lower this one. it just seems like I got a lot. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? And it's like, I'll never get done with this lesson right here. You know, I know how to get the elbow to the shoulder, but I don't know how to get off of the shoulder, from go to the elbow down to the hand. I don't know if I'm ever going to get that part. I can get a few miracles, but that's about it. Just kind of eat down, you know. But I didn't really cooperate on that one. I didn't do that much. I just went to the meeting, and you know, miracle happened on me. You know, I was like, ooh, go again and try to get to the right meetings. Now, God, who made this, promises this, it's going to happen. And so over the years, as I began to just relax and, okay, well, I'll just confess my sins every day and then confess that I love you and thank you and so on. I'll just stay right here. Sin, get forgiven, sin, get forgiven, sin, get forgiven, sin, get forgiven. And I believe in this other one, God. I believe in it. I just don't see it. I'm not experiencing a lot of it. And I don't know what the fault is. It's got to be a fault somewhere, and it's not probably you. See, that leaves probably me where it usually is. Could we break this log jam somehow? I don't know how to break it. You know, and when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that was a real breakthrough. And I got that in a dream. I didn't get it in my normal daily life. I got it in a dream. I was dreaming, and all of a sudden I heard all these angels singing. Oh, I was in a garden, and there was three steps in an arbor kind of thing. And I remember exactly how it looked. Oh, so here it is, like this. And in the dream, I was standing here, and I started walking over to the three steps. And the angels were singing, "He is coming soon, he is coming soon, he is coming soon," three times. And I remember I was going to get down on my knees and, you know, worship him or something. And all of a sudden, this woman walked into my life from the right side over here as I was going forward, and I realized I didn't like her. You know, so there was the block right there. In fact, I hated this lady. I hated this lady because she was the first one that tried to get me to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I thought she was flaking. And so I resented her. I resented her from being better than me, smarter than me, you know, trying to get me under her thing, you know. And I resented her. So I realized, well, I probably can't worship God in this moment here. So she ruined my whole worship experience and the angel and so on. And what happened in the dream was I went over and I got down on my knees in front of her and I said, "Forgive me. I sinned against you." Yeah. And immediately, I don't know whether she forgave me or not, but immediately I was clean. And I went over to the steps, my hands went up in the air, and I began speaking in tongues in the dream. And I just began singing to God, and I was set free. And I woke up speaking in tongues. Now that, I don't think it would ever have happened in real life, because I tried it every which way. But all of a sudden I was free, and the cork was out of the bottle. And it just began flowing out of me. So it's like it was powerful. And so I realized there must be a connection between resenting other people or resenting God's vessels who aren't perfect looking. And that was a big mistake of mine. It's like, Jim, you don't have to have this person be perfect. I used that person to reach you, and you refused because of the vessel that I sent. And so I never analyzed it, even to this day, I've never analyzed it. But I know it's something to do with that, is that I had to get right with man or with God through man. I was offended at this person, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it. I didn't like it that it was a woman, first of all. I didn't like that. But this woman was the only one that ever tried to reach me. And I knew in the dream I was wrong. She was right, I was wrong. Even though she may have been imperfect, she was right. She was moved by the Holy Spirit to do that, and I refused that. So I blocked God, and that was blocking the hand. After that, all kinds of miraculous things began to happen. And I realized, wow, I don't even know you at all. Knowing you in the elbow is not really fully knowing you until you know in the Holy Spirit. And so after that, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, now being in tongues with the evidence of speaking in tongues and so on, my life just transformed. It's like, wow. And I just was softened. It just totally broke down my intellect, broke down everything, and I was open now to the Holy Spirit. So I hope you don't forget all his benefits. This one, this one, this one, of course, all these too. So there are natural benefits, then there are special supernatural, where he enters into time and space for you personally, benefits, where he reveals your sin, he reveals his salvation, and he lives in you through the Holy Spirit as your Lord, and he can command you, and you will obey. So, praise the Lord. Did I read the last one? Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's it, right there. There's the worship of God.